The sermon this morning is titled, While He Spoke. It's a phrase found in Matthew 9, verses 18 through 19. And the topic of today's lesson is Godly Fathers. Let's look at Matthew 18. Beginning in verse 18, we read, While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now Matthew's account is a story about faith, the great faith of this daughter's father. But it is also a story about a father's love for his daughter, and the hope that he had that Jesus would be able to raise her back to life, restore her to her family. There are other stories that set forth a mother's love. For example, in Matthew 15, a woman of Canaan came asking Jesus to heal her daughter who was demon-possessed. But this morning we want to look at godly fathers for a few minutes. And most of what we'll look at this morning is true of fathers and mothers. It's true of people who have children and people who do not have children. And much of what we say this morning is a very good biblical lesson for young people who are anticipating marriage and family. Our society seems sorely lacking. We see homes where there's only one parent, fathers are absent. We see homes that are broken and divided by divorce. We see all of the problems that come to society because of those kinds of failures. It's not something new, really. Ezekiel prophesied to a people in captivity because they were sorely lacking in devout and godly men. Judah, if you remember, had reached a point where there was no remedy. God would bring judgment. And so God had given them into the hands of the Babylonians. And Ezekiel, in Babylon, speaking to a people in captivity in Ezekiel 22, verse 29, beginning, he speaks what he has heard from the Lord, and he says, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Don't you think God is still looking today? Looking for men who will stand with him? Looking for the kind of faith that might delay the coming judgment or delay judgment on the part of the land or the world where faithful men live? I'm persuaded that the God who created us is still seeking loyal hearts in men who will stand with him. And I am persuaded he remains willing even today to stand with them. Is that not what the historian teaches us in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him? I think so. Here, Hanani, the seer, has come to tell Asa, the king of Judah, that he's been foolish to rely on the king of Syria for help because God was willing to deal with both Baasha of Israel, who came against him, and Ben-Hadad of Syria for him. But his loyalty to God was lacking. And so that help would not be. Today's Father's Day, and I would wish the men who are fathers a happy Father's Day. And I'd like to talk about what God wants from fathers. And as we said earlier, this applies in many cases to fathers and mothers, to men and women who may not have children. It applies to young people who are looking to the future and considering marriage and family. But we're going to focus our thoughts mainly on fathers this morning. God wants men who love Him. Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God wants fathers who are devoted to Him, loyal to Him. And God wants men who love others. Mark 12:31, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God's looking for fathers who will love Him and love others. And God wants men who love their wives. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Sacrificial love. A love that recognizes the needs of his wife and is willing to do what he needs to do to provide for those needs. Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter toward them. God wants men, fathers, who love Him, who love others, who love their wives and look to Christ as the example of the kind of love He's talking about. Men who love their wives as they love their own bodies, and they avoid bitterness. Bitterness can divide a marriage, hurt a family. God does not want men to be bitter toward their wives. God wants men who love their children. You would think that's a given, but as we look around in the world of today and into history, we see fathers who do not seemingly love their children. But God says, and you fathers, in Ephesians 6:4, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. A father who cares about his children, who understands the need to train his children and admonish his children in the ways of the Lord, and to use God's word to do that training. Consider how important this is right now. Churches here and abroad have altered services. Many are not assembling as often, not staying as long, not having as many Bible study classes. And please don't misunderstand me. I do not think any churches have forsaken the assembling of themselves together. I've not heard of that. But assemblies have changed. They haven't abandoned assemblies, but they've dealt with the current crisis, the present distress, in a temporary way, trying to find a way to protect memberships, adhere to the ordinances and laws of the land, please God. And so assemblies have changed. We're not meeting as often. We don't stay as long. We don't have many of the Bible classes that we were having, and efforts to have Bible classes are not as effective. I don't think anyone believes they are quite as effective when we're not together and talking to one another and having the chance to ask questions and answer questions. And while the responsibility of training and admonishing is constant for fathers, it doesn't change with situations like we're in now, is it not heightened right now? Fathers have an important responsibility. God has given men the responsibility of oversight in the home and in the church. In Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God has given men this responsibility to oversee the home, to oversee their children. He has given children and wives the responsibility to submit, to be obedient to their fathers, to their husbands. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:11, he said, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Paul points to creation. Adam was created first. He points to the fall of man, and he says, Eve was deceived, not Adam. So to men, God has given the responsibility of overseeing his household, overseeing his children, and overseeing the church. This does not in any sense negate the work and responsibilities of women or mothers, but rather sets forth the roles as God has set them forth. And God's word is not ambiguous. Wives are to submit, children are to obey, and members of local churches are to obey the elders. Passages like Hebrews 13:7, obey those who have rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. God's very clear about the arrangement and what he expects of men and women and children. And he's given the oversight, the responsibility to fathers. Wives submit, children obey, members of local churches obey, and if we fail in this, marriages will fail. Children will walk disorderly. The church will not have elders because men will not be qualified to be elders, or if brethren refuse to submit, they will not have elders long. Do you see how important this is? So let us be reminded again of the word of the Lord that came to Ezekiel concerning Judah of old. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. There are passages in the scripture that are profoundly sad. This is one of them. Because this is the voice of God through Ezekiel, his prophet, talking about how I looked for a man. I looked for a man who would stand before me on behalf of the land. Now, he looked in ways by sending men like Jeremiah to teach and to encourage men to stand, even giving some instructions how to make the captivity, by the time Jeremiah came, it could not be avoided, but it could be eased, and they would not listen. I sought for a man, God said, so that I would not have to destroy the land, but I found no one. And lest anyone think I mean to diminish the role and work of godly women, let us be reminded of the words of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Godly husbands need godly wives. And this kind of lesson is meant, at least in some sense, to encourage our young people to consider their spouse. It is a most important choice. Who will you marry? Choose carefully, choose wisely, and pay attention to what is important. Consider the implications. What decision is more important in your life than the husband or wife you marry? The proverb highlights the blessing of a good choice. A wife who fears the Lord is one whose praise rings from the lips of her husband, her children, and her God. And in that same context, it diminishes charm and beauty. These things are vain. They are passing. They don't have lasting importance, but godliness, fearing the Lord, it's of great value. And one reason is that God's work depends on it. 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now we could continue reading, but in order for a man to be considered for the work of an elder, he has to desire the position, and he has to be the husband of one wife. Verse 4, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? You see how important this is? Titus 1:6, if anyone is above reproach, speaking about men qualified to be an elder, if anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, we see there again, not to Timothy this time, but to Titus, men need to be married with children who are believers. God says, this is the man I'm looking for. This is the man who can oversee my church. And if we are not careful, we will end up like Judah when God looks around and finds no one. Now, when you think about this idea of children who are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, that means married men with believing children. That means children who are upright and obedient. Godly fathers are essential in God's plan. You will not find married men with believing children who are upright and obedient without the man being a godly man and his wife being a godly woman. It's essential. It's a requirement of God. I am reminded of Paul's words to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. And I've got the King James Version in the PowerPoint if you're using it. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. The English Standard Version reads, act like men. Now, this is said to all the saints. As I said, this lesson is applicable to men and women most of the time. It's applicable to young and old most of the time. But it's indicative, don't you agree, of the courage God expects of men, and in our study today of fathers? Be watchful. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Act like men. Be strong. He's looking for men of courage. Men who seek a knowledge of what is right and wrong. Men who pray for wisdom so that their decisions based on their knowledge are the right decisions, and men with the courage to act on those decisions. And trust me, God understands the challenge. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, God requires a faithful man, not one double-minded. He requires that of a man or a woman. You have to believe in him and trust in him. But he also provides a very simple how-to lesson. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Brethren, God is looking for loyal hearts. He's looking for men who trust him. He's looking for someone who will stand with him. Will he find it? I ask you to think again what he told the children of Judah in captivity in Ezekiel 22. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. God help us to be the kind of men, the kind of fathers that will oversee our family, that will oversee our children, that will oversee the church. And let us be a people that will stand with God. The lesson is yours.